Today on the morning show, an interview with some volunteers, board members, and supporters of Food for Our Children. We will be joining this program in media res just after the announcement of the weekend's weather. Thanks for listening to the morning show on 88.5 KRFY. You are listening to the podcast. You can also catch the live stream at www.krfy.org. Look for the link on the right hand of your screen, or if you're on a handheld device, scroll all the way to the bottom. Jumping in now with Michelle Murphy. Michelle is on the board of Food for Our Children, and from left to right on your radio dial, we have also in the studio Michael Michael Harmelin from VFW Post 2453. He's the commander of Post 2453. Misty Robertson is the chief nursing officer at Bonner General Hospital. And Cheryl Rickard is the CEO of Bonner General Health? Mm. Is it the same thing?
It's the same thing.
Okay, it's the same thing. Well, welcome to you all. Thanks for joining us this morning in the studio.
Thanks for having us.
Michelle, why don't you start us off? And for those who aren't familiar, what is Food for Our Children, and then how do the rest of the people in this room relate?
Right. Food for Our Children is a recently founded public nonprofit in Bonner County, and the mission of Food for Our Children is to eliminate childhood hunger in Bonner County. We're raising money right now. There's a backpack program that I think people are familiar with, which provides weekend food for children when school is in session. The money that we raise, 100% of it goes towards purchasing food, and that money is given to the food bank to expand the weekend food program. Before we started, the food bank was able to fund three elementary schools with weekend food, which left four remaining elementary schools, Head Start, the middle school. We've already been able to raise enough funds to fund, I believe it's two more elementary schools, Head Start, middle school, and the LPO high school. So that was kind of our first focus. The need is really overwhelming in Bonner County with childhood hunger. It's approximately one in five children, we're estimating, that have some sort of food insecurity, which translates into about 2,000 of our children facing childhood hunger. So, so we've reached out to people to raise money, and the VFW has been amazing. Bonner General Health has been amazing in what they're doing. So we started out with the weekend food program. Then we'll need to address what do we do during spring break, during the holiday breaks, and then summer is a whole nother issue. But I'm really proud to be here with everyone representing the Bonner General Health and the veterans, because they have really stepped up to adopt a school. Bonner General Health has done countless volunteer hours in donating food. So it's just a privilege to be there. When I think we first started the organization, it was pretty overwhelming. Like, how do you even address this? So I'm just really fortunate that a lot of our community members have stepped forward to help us out.
And speaking of those community members, how did these other groups get involved?
Michael, do you want to? You have a great story about why the veterans decided to. I think that the veterans adopted Southside
Elementary
for the weekend food program.
Right, Southside Elementary School. We're sponsoring them for the balance of this school year and all of next school year. Part of it had to do with the veterans themselves. We're veterans of foreign wars, and we've seen what happens to children, and we don't want that to happen in our own country or our own county. And that's why it's important that we support where we live and take care of our own. And that's what we're trying to do. So that's why we're sponsoring Southside Elementary.
Right. And I think that it was a $6,000 donation that you gave to Food for Our Children. And I thought that, oh, maybe that was some federal funding or whatnot. But can you explain how that money was raised?
Happy to. Most of that money came out of our bingo fund. We have bingo every Thursday night. The doors open at 5 and the first call is at 6:45 in the evening. And so it's tonight and every Thursday night. We raised enough money in bingo that we were able to take $6,000 and dedicate it to help with food for our children. Otherwise, most all of our monies go to help veterans in need and or their families in need. So we're supportive of everything we can in this community.
Yeah, and I think that it was a great story that a lot of your members will not come and ask for assistance. So this is a way for you to support those veterans. Is that correct?
Right. This is kind of an indirect way of going at it. Most veterans are too proud to step up and say, I need help. I can't afford to pay for my kids to go to, you know, to provide food for them during the year and or on the weekends. We need help. Well, they won't step up and do that. So we decided, we know there's a lot of grandparents out there that are now raising their grandchildren. And we felt this was a good way to indirectly come at it and help those families in need. And at the same time, we're supporting veterans' families as well. So it's support in the community.
Right. And then I think that there's like a satellite office of the food bank at Bonner General Health now. I've seen pictures of Misty with food. And how many volunteer hours have you put in so far?
We have about 406 volunteer hours so far. And we have about 10 to 12 volunteers every week. We deliver food every Friday. And those volunteer hours include the time that takes us to acquire the food, pack the bags, and then deliver them.
Where do you acquire the food, and how long have you been doing this now?
Well, we started on January 7th, and we've delivered 1,420 bags so far, so that's every week. Before spring break, we actually delivered the first ever double bag of food, really trying to make an attempt to supply enough food for that break time. So we were going to try all that out. That went very well, but it's a lot of food. Some of the pictures that you may have seen are just the sheer quantity of food that we deliver for 102. We have 102 children that we're serving. We have the middle school where we have 27 children, and then we have the alternative high school where we have 75 children. I started out with food in my office, which actually generated a lot of support for our program as people were walking by and wondering what I was doing with significant quantities of Chef Boyardee. that generated a lot of support for our program. We wanted to adopt some schools so that our employees had an opportunity to volunteer. We have volunteers from our executive team. Our CEO volunteers every week, our maintenance staff, nurses at Bonner General, medical students that are there. So everyone volunteers for the program.
And that CEO is here right now. Yes. And good morning, Cheryl.
Good morning.
Were you involved in the decision to get involved, I guess you would say? Were you to join up with Food for Our Children, and why? Why did you guys decide this was what you were going to support with your volunteer?
Yes, I was involved from the very beginning. And you asked an interesting question a little bit ago, and that is, are we Bonner General Health or are we Bonner General Hospital?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons that we changed our name to Bonner General Health, we are still a hospital, but we really felt like it was important to focus on the health of our community. And we are so much more than a hospital with our satellite clinics and our physician clinics now. So we are Bonner General Health, but we are still a hospital. But because of that, we had presentations from the Food for Our Children. Some of the board members came in and spoke to our board of directors and our senior leadership team. And we felt that this was really something that we should participate in, that we wanted to participate in. 3 years ago, we did a community health needs assessment. And from that, we found really the needs and the health needs in the community. And our focus areas are obesity, mental health and suicide, teen births, and child abuse and neglect. And what we also identified during that time is we needed community partners if we were going to make a difference. We can't address all of these issues by ourselves. So when the Food for Our Children board members came and talked to us, we really saw an opportunity to address some of those health needs, because if these children are hungry, there's a lot of other problems that come along with that. And so we felt like being a part of Food for Our Children was really important to us and to our community and to the health of our community.
I had not heard of that that study that you did a few years ago, but that's interesting that all those issues are, observable in the community.
Absolutely.
And I'm glad that you found it and are working with other partners in the community. It'd be interesting to have you back to talk about some of those other issues sometime,
too. That'd be great.
Excuse me. So, did you say you now have all of the schools? Somebody has adopted all the schools? Or you,
No. And there's only been, let's see, so far the veterans adopted Southside. Bonner General Health adopted the middle school and the Lake Pendere High School. Lighthouse has just adopted Hope. Other community members and organizations have donated money. So, but we just started the new Adopt a School program so that a business can come in and adopt a particular school. But we're always looking for funds. You know, it's not just adopting a school. But as Cheryl was mentioning, I don't think that there's really a realization of how much childhood hunger is in our county, how much of a need is there. And it's so important, you know, these kids at a very early age, if they're not getting adequate nutrition, you know, we're finding that some kids don't even know what the concept of dinner is. Over 53% of our school, our elementary school students in the Lake Pendere High or Lake Pendere School District, over 53% are eligible for the free or reduced breakfast and lunch. So that might be the only food that these kids are getting. So at a really early age, these kids are already facing significant obstacles to success. And we really want every child to have every opportunity to be successful. They're not getting an education because they can't concentrate. And so that just generates or just, you know, perpetuates this generational poverty that we're experiencing. So I think that this is just really, really important to make sure that these kids are getting adequate nutrition.
Mm-hmm. It sure is. What exactly do you, or can you describe what the food is that you give them and when it arrives and
yeah,
I don't
Misty,
know how it's delivered?
I can describe that.
Sure.
You had it stacking up in your office.
Yes, I did. I experienced a lot of it. We actually had our hospital dietitian help us. We do have a slightly different age group. We have the older kids. So far, the middle school age and the high school age children. Mm-hmm. So we really strive to have food within our budget, of course, that would be best for that age. So a larger portion, and we strive to have a decent amount of protein there because these are kids that are most likely active and kind of at a critical point in their development. So our food includes cans of Chef Boyardee, ramen noodles, bagels, peanut butter and cream cheese, juices, chocolate milk, cheese sticks, Nutri-Grain bars, and granola bars. And that may sound like an interesting combination, but mm-hmm. one of the difficulties we've faced is really having an appropriate diet on a budget that would cover as many kids as possible. So we do that for around $5 a bag. So that is actually difficult
that's nice.
to acquire an amount of food that would sustain them for the weekend. And then it needs to be food that is does not need to be refrigerated, that kids can just eat, that is non-perishable. so finding things that they can just take home in case that their home environment doesn't allow them to cook, for example.
Yeah,
I think that's a really important point because sometimes these children are at home on the weekends alone, so they're not able to, you know, everything has to be just open and eat. So that's a challenge to get appropriate food.
Right. Wow. Well, it's quite a challenge. And I guess you mentioned it is sort of an odd combination of foods. But when you have those specific requirements, I guess it sounds like you did a pretty good job finding an interesting mix.
We initially thought that we would order food through our hospital, through our vendors that we have. But most of our food actually comes in bulk. So that didn't meet our need to have individual packaging. So we actually acquire a lot of our food from Costco and Walmart. We make volunteer expeditions to acquire the food there because it's more cost effective in the individual proportions.
Huh. So you have volunteers from your staff, I guess, who then will just go out on a shopping expedition and go out to the grocery stores, get food, pack it into bags. And where does the money come from to buy this food? Go ahead, Cheryl. Do you want to jump in?
Well, initially, our board of directors agreed to donate $25,000 to Food for Our Children.
My goodness.
So that actually supports this program as well. And then we, like Misty said, and we try to keep the bags around right $5 or less, and which is kind of a challenge. But I think the bulk of the money for our program came from that $25,000 donation.
Hmm.
Right. That was just so generous. I mean, that really kind of got us off the ground. So we were really, really fortunate to have their support.
Yeah, I'll say. I would like to take, if you guys don't mind, a brief musical break. And it involves a quiz. It's not at all related to what we're talking about, so you'll forgive me for not having a very graceful segue here. But there is a man whose birthday it is today who had he holds the record for having the most singles in the UK top 10 during one period of time, 1 week. He had four on the top 10 in 1 week. And none of them were under the same name. None of them were by the same artist. He had them under four different group names or individual names. The quiz is, who is this individual? Can anyone guess? Or give me one of the names of the bands he was in.
Jack, you didn't tell us there would be a test. You would have volunteered for this assignment.
Oh, that's okay. It's just some wild musical trivia. The man's name is Tony Burrows, and you would recognize him from a number of pop hits, although you probably wouldn't recognize his name because he recorded with so many different groups and under so many different names. But this is, I'm about to play a hit called Love Grows Where My Rosemary Goes by Edison Lighthouse, which was like a number three hit in 1970. So how about that? There's your musical trivia for today. We'll be back with more talking about food for our children with Michelle, Michael, Misty, and Cheryl. The KRFY Morning Show is available as a free download at krfy.org. You can also stream Panhandle Community Radio live from the website and find program schedules and more information about the station. While browsing KRFY.org, support the station by clicking the Donate button on the right side of your screen and help keep Panhandle Community Radio commercial-free and a growing community resource. We're back. This is the KRFY Morning Show. Thank you for tuning in. That was Edison Lighthouse, fronted by Tony Burrows, whose birthday it is today, and who had hits on the charts at the same time with Edison Lighthouse, also with My Baby Loves Lovin' by the White Plains, Gimme Dat Ding by the Pipkins, a novelty song, and Beach Baby by the First Class. No, and Brotherhood of Man's United We Stand. All of these under, yeah, different group names, but sung by the same person and appearing on the top 10 at the same time. So that's your musical trivia. He holds the record, and a happy birthday to Mr. Burrows. We're in the studio this morning with Michelle Murphy. She's a board member of Food for Our Children, general community activist, I would say. Michael Harmelin from VFW Post 2453. Misty Robertson is the chief nursing officer at Bonner General Health, and Cheryl Rickard is the CEO of Bonner General Health. And we're back just briefly to talk more about Food for Our Children. And Michelle, for listeners out there who are appreciate what you're doing and might like to get involved, how can they help?
Oh, that would be fantastic. You can call 391-5277 or go to our website at foodforourchildren.org. So there's always need for people. We're putting together fundraisers now for volunteers. We're putting on hopefully a fall fundraiser, maybe like a haunted house type of thing. So I can use help with that. So yeah, any help at all. So, and we're always looking for donations. So feel free to call.
And as you said, right now you have food for every day of the school week. I mean, hours for the weekends.
For the weekend, we still need to find funding for two more elementary schools.
Okay.
And then we'll probably need to talk about charter school as well.
Charter school.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned that we are a public nonprofit, a 501c3 organization.
Very good.
Michelle, you might mention that 100% of the money raised goes to food.
Yeah, that's a really good point. We don't have any paid employees. All of our administrative expenses are paid by our board of directors. So every single dime that goes, that is donated to our organization does go to food.
And then eventually you will be looking at, hopefully, I mean, if things are successful, hoping to do more and more,
right,
including school breaks and stuff.
And it has to be sustainable, because once we, you know, add a school, we can't say, well, we had funding last year, but we don't have funding this year. So that is key to us, that, you know, once we add a school, that school is included, you know, in the weekend food program. So yeah, weekend food was first, and then we'll start looking at the school breaks, and then, you know, eventually summer is going to be a big issue as well.
Yeah. excuse me, a little frog in my throat this morning. Michael, the VFW, you mentioned it earlier, but you have, well, we were just talking in the break, you have something coming up later in the year, in September. Let's talk about that.
Right. This September, we have I believe it's our 9th annual Elks Patriotic Golf Scramble at the local Elks Golf Course. The top 25% of our net proceeds goes directly to help veterans who do not have dental insurance, or VA dental coverage. And that goes to the Kinnexu Dental Health Program. And so you can come out and support us, play a round of golf. It's going to be in September. Contact the Elks, Linda Tatlock, or any member of the local 5 veterans organizations, Marine Corps League, VFW, Vietnam Vets of America, American Legion, and Disabled American Veterans, all within Bonner County. And all 5 groups are in support of this program, along with the Elks.
And that's for dental health, which is interesting, but they say very important.
Well,
your teeth are your best friends.
Well, yeah. If your mouth's hurting, you're not going to be thinking about much of anything else.
No. And then coming up tonight and every Thursday, right?
Every Thursday night, we have our bingo night. Doors open at 5 p.m. First call at 6:45. And a lot of people come in and have a lot of fun. You don't have to be a member. The money we take in helps veterans in need, as well as in support of food for our children. So please come on down and have a good time. We have a kitchen. We have food that's served, as well as it's just a lot of fun. We have a lot more people coming in every week.
And you, the VFW, out on Division, right?
Right, yeah. Corner of Pine and Division Street.
Okay. Well, with that, did I miss anything? I think we covered most of our bases here.
I think we covered a lot of information.
Yeah. So I will say good morning to you four. Thank you again, Michelle Murphy, board member from Food for Our Children, Michael Harmelin, commander of VFW Post 2453, Misty Robertson, the chief nursing officer at Bonner General Health, and Cheryl Rickard, the CEO of Bonner General Health. Thank you all for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's always great to be on KRFY. It's a great radio station. So thanks for having us.
Well, that's nice to hear, Michelle. We have, on this date, 50 years ago today, the Spencer Davis Group was at number one in the UK with this hit, Somebody Help Me. We'll be back with more of The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY.
Thanks for listening to the KRFY Morning Show. For copyright reasons, we can't reproduce protected music on the podcast edition of The Morning Show. But feel free to tune in live at 8 a.m. at 88.5 on your radio dial, or listen anywhere in the world by streaming us through our website, krfy.org. If you listen live, you can hear the full program, including musical breaks. While you're visiting krfy.org, consider tapping that donate button and help keep KRFY providing unique quality radio in North Idaho. Thanks for your support. We now return to the show.
That's the Eurythmics, and the name of the song there, Here Comes the Rain Again. Not of any special significance to this date, other than this weather that we are experiencing currently here in North Idaho. 8:40 a.m. on a Thursday, a rainy Thursday, April 14th. The chilly and rainy weather of spring that we all missed last week is back, and thank goodness for it. I have in front of me some of the upcoming events for this weekend. And as we like to do here on 88.5 Panhandle Community Radio, we like to bring those events to you in a segment of the show. We are calling right now for the very first time. We are calling Events in Sandpoint and the surrounding area. Coming up tonight at Monarch Mountain Coffee, our animal friends art opening reception. That's right, at Monarch Mountain Coffee at 208 North 4th Avenue from 6 p.m. until 8 p.m. There is an art exhibition by Tom Kramer and Robbins Napolitan. The exhibition is on display through June 2nd, but it opens today, sponsored, of course, by the Pondere Arts Council. There's our background music for this segment, and we missed it. Also going on tonight at Monarch Mountain Coffee, Jazz and Java is beginning this evening. Jazz and Java and Open Mic is tonight at Monarch Mountain. Again, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m., the second Thursday of every month. All players are welcome. Sit in with a rhythm section, play solo, or just listen. It's hosted by Larry Mooney, a jazz vocalist and guitarist. Amps and PA are provided. You can go to sandpointguitar.com for more information about that, or call 290-2632. Over at the Panada, just down First Avenue from our world headquarters in downtown Sandpoint, there will be a screening of the Oscar-nominated documentary Cartel Land at 7 p.m. tonight and tomorrow night. The film follows a physician in Mexico who leads a citizen uprising against the drug cartel in his area that has wreaked havoc on the region for years. Just across the U.S. border, a veteran heads a paramilitary group working to prevent Mexico's drug wars from entering U.S. territory. Call 255-7801 for more information about that documentary. Again, it is Oscar-nominated and sounds fascinating. Also going on tomorrow, over at the winery, the Pondere Winery, that is, from 5 p.m. until 8 p.m., the Flying Mammals from Coeur d'Alene, based in the Inland Northwest. It's a trio of brothers playing earnest and melodic songs, striking a huge chord with audiences everywhere. That's right. Go to powine.com or call 265-8545 for more information about that. Over at the Poor Authority, though, if you're not in the mood for the Flying Mammals, you can check out Marty Perrin and Doug Bond, 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. at the Poor Authority. And, again, at McDuff's Beer Hall, just across the street, and at 220 Cedar Street, from 6:30 p.m. until 9:30 p.m., Devin Wade is playing. Devin is our local country star and independent country musician out of Sandpoint with a strong love for what country music has always been. Songs about real life. It's free and open to the public for ages 21 and up. An interesting note here at the bottom. McDuff's Beer Hall is a non-smoking, fun and games environment. Nice to hear. Over at the Panada, starting on Friday and running through Sunday the 17th, Hello, My Name is Doris, starring Sally Field. It's at 7:30 p.m. on the 15th and 16th, and then at 3:30 p.m. on the 17th, mimosas will be available at the Sunday matinee. Oh-ho, how about that? And then again on Friday, for those about to rock, you can salute the end of the ski season with the second annual Season Bender featuring Hell's Bells, an AC/DC tribute band, at 8 p.m. That's B-E-L-L-E-S. Sounds like a all-female AC/DC tribute band, and so it is. A high-energy band. This is Friday, April 15th at The Hive on North First Avenue. They are going to rock The Hive and will not disappoint, says the promotional announcement here. Plus, to top it all off, the Maya Kohal Band, local legends, the Maya Kohal Band, is opening the show. General admission tickets are $15. Present your season pass or employee ID to get your ticket. Oh, a little discount. General admission tickets are located locally at Eichardt's Pub, Evans Brothers Coffee, 7B Board Sports, and Pucci's Pub at Schweitzer. And you can get all the details at livefromthehive.com. Now here's one coming up on Saturday, and this is also a memo to our friend Mike Meisner. Memo to Mike Meisner. Sandpoint organizers are seeking volunteers this Saturday, April 16th, for their annual cleaning event, Shake the Sand Out. And I will be on the KRFY cleaning team, I think, if I can get myself out of bed on Saturday morning. It's a downtown cleanup event held annually where teams of business owners and community volunteers join forces and put the sparkle back into downtown Sandpoint. I do think I will be there wearing my KRFY t-shirt, and I know of at least one other volunteer who will be there as well. We gather at 8:30 a.m. in Jeff Jones Square to receive sector assignments, gloves and garbage bags, as well as coffee and a light breakfast to get started. Oh, that's generous. The project takes just a few hours and is a great way for individuals and service groups to provide much appreciated sprucing up of our downtown. So there's that. Kim Queen is your contact there. Kim@sandpointchamber.com. Again, Shake the Sand Out. In the Sand Creek area, Lake Pendre Waterkeepers this Saturday aim to beautify our local waterways during the annual Sand Creek cleanup. You can help the Lake Pendre Waterkeepers keep local waterways clean and beautiful during the annual cleanup. Excuse me. It is from 10 a.m. until noon, meeting at the City Beach Pavilion this time for the family-friendly event. Bring sturdy or waterproof boots, gloves to protect your hands, and clothing appropriate for the morning's weather. It actually looks like Saturday should be a pretty nice day. Lake Pendre Waterkeepers will provide coffee, tea, and treats for all volunteers. Meet at 9:45 a.m. for refreshments and brief cleanup logistics meeting. Then head out to get our downtown waterways looking beautiful. LakePondreWaterkeeper.org for more information about that one. Also going on Saturday evening, at the Pendre Winery, again, that address, 301 Cedar Street, this time from 5 p.m. till 8 p.m. on Saturday, Mike Wagoner and Utah John. Utah John Stoll and has formed a duo with Mike Wagoner, Sandpoint's own. And they are on the road again. powine.com for more information about that event. At the Idaho Poor Authority from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m., we've got Justin Landtrip from 597-7096 is the phone number there. And then at the Beer Hall, McDuff's Beer Hall, from 6:30 until 9:30 p.m., Harold's IGA. A fun night of live music, cheers, and beers. Oh, there's a little bio of Harold's IGA here, which, if you're not familiar, Harold's IGA was a grocery store in Sandpoint that the poor people went to, according to the bio. It was bulldozed to the ground. Now it's an indie rock band with an ever-changing cast of characters. They play a ton of originals, and the originals are great, and they're from their three albums and a few fun covers. Now, hold on. Three albums? I believe I only have two. We're going to have to correct something here. It is free and open to the public. Again, 21 years of age and above, please, at the McDuff's Beer Hall. And then, Flatpick Earl, although the store is gone, the band remains. Flatpick Earl will be playing with the Snack Brothers at DeLuna's Cafe. Doors open at 5:30 p.m. with dinner served before the show. Concert starts at 7:30 p.m. The Snack Brothers with Flatpick Earl at DeLuna's. Enjoy great local music with Tom Durazzi, Lonnie Hawkins, and Dennis Coates. Tickets are available in advance and on the day of the show, or go to delunas.com for more information. 263-0846 is the phone number. And one more event coming up, not straight away, not this weekend, not next weekend, not the weekend after that, but the weekend after that. So it is coming up. The Lil Smokies Bluegrass Band, fresh from their first place band competition win at the Telluride Bluegrass Festival, is coming to the Panada Theater May 6th, performing KRFY's second annual spring concert. Last year we had Lindsay Lou and the Flatbellies and Patchy Sanders. Those of you who were there, I hope you enjoyed yourselves and are prepared for, dare I say, an even better show this year. Save the date. It's May 6th. That's Friday, May 6th. You can get your tickets now at Evans Brothers Coffee, Pedro's, iCarts, right here, KRFY. That's this radio station. Our phone number is 265-2992 if you'd like to get some tickets, or find them online at panada.org. That's, again, the Lil Smokies Bluegrass Band from Missoula, Montana. Some call them a new grass band. Some call them alternative bluegrass. Some call them straight bluegrass. They are a genre-spanning, awesome group that will be a real kick to see live. Special guests Doug Bond and Terry Ludeker performing alongside the Lil Smokies, or opening for the Lil Smokies, and then who knows what happens after that. Again, Friday, May 6th, it's a KRFY Spring Benefit Concert. We would greatly appreciate it if you would pick up your tickets early so we have a ballpark idea of who's all going to be there. And plus, it's going to be great. I don't know. Plus, I have some music from the Lil Smokies queued up here. This is one that I don't think we have played on the station before. Maybe it's a little bit different from some of the other ones that you have heard on this station, but why not give you an idea of the breadth of material this band features. It is from their self-titled album, The Lil Smokies. The song is called Courtney. And again, this band is performing at the Panada on May 6th, and it is going to be fantastic. You can call us here at the radio station, 265-2992, if you want to get if you want to purchase some tickets. I will sell them to you. Otherwise, go to Evans Brothers, Pedro's, iCarts, or panada.org. Here's Courtney by the Lil Smokies. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. That's a band called the Lil Smokies playing a song called Courtney, and the Lil Smokies will be performing at the Panada again on May 6th. Get your tickets now for that show at the Panada, which is a benefit concert for this listener-supported community radio station. Coming up next week on The Morning Show, very briefly, we've got new hosts, Julie Calamine and Phil Huff, for the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show. That's our station identification, and that is the station that you're listening to right now. Again, Tuesday at 8 a.m., Julie Calamine and Phil Huff are your new hosts. On Wednesday, regular hosts Susie and Chris will be hosting their continuing coverage of the 2016 election, not the national election, but the local elections. It's a series of interviews with candidates for office. This week, or next week, I should say, their guests will be candidates for the Idaho State Representative Legislative District 1B seat, Bob Vicarious and Steve Howlett. Tune in again at 8 o'clock a.m. on 88.5 KRFY. Stay tuned for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long after that. Thanks for listening to Panhandle Community Radio.